is Shiguro and Shiguranga. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharne. Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskatya De Sitarne. Om Agana Timadandasya Gananjana Salakaya. Chaktur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Svitam Scha Hey Krishna, Karna, Sindo, Dina, Bando, Dagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute, Tapta, Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Prishubhana, Sudadevi, Pranamami, Hari, Priye, Vanchakapa, Trubhyascha, Kripa, Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya It's reading from the fourth the canto 4 chapter 30 The activities of the Pachetas text 51 50 to 51. Ya Jayamana Sarvesham Teja Tejasvinam Rucha Swaya Upadata Dakshyat Cha Karmanam Daksham Abruvan Tam Yo Jayamana Sarvesham Tejas Tejas Finam Rucha Swayopadata Dakshacha Parmanam Daksha Abruvam Yojayamana Sarvesham Tejas Tejasinam Rucha Swayopadata Dakshatscha Parmanam Daksham Abruvam
Yo Jayamana Sarvesham.
Tejas Tejasvinam Rucha.
Tate dasinam uja. Sarvesham One who Jayamana, just after his birth, Sarvesham, of all, Teja, the brilliant, Tejasvinam, brilliant, Rucha, by effulgence, Swaya, his, Upadata, covered, Dakshat, from being expert, Cha, and Karmanam, in fruit of activities, Daksham, Daksha, Abruvan, was called. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After being born Daksha, by the super excellence of his Bali luster, covered all others Bali opulence, because he was very expert in performing fruitive activity, he was called by the name Daksha, meaning the very expert. Lord Brahma therefore engaged Daksha in the work of generating living entities and maintaining them. In due course of time, Daksha also engaged other Prajapatis, progenitors, in the process of generation and maintenance. Purport. Daksha became almost as powerful as Lord Brahma. Consequently, Lord Brahma engaged him in generating population. Daksha was very influential and opulent. In his own turn, Daksha engaged other Prajapatis headed by Marichi. In this way, the population of the universe increased. As in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 30th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of the Prajetas. Chapter 31, Narada instructs the Prachetas. Text 1. Maitreya Vacha Tata Upana Vigyana Ashva Dokshaja Vashitam Smaranta Atmaje Baryam Visrija Pravajan Grihat. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, after that the Prachetas lived at home for thousands of years and developed perfect knowledge and spiritual consciousness. At last, they remembered the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and left home, putting their wife in charge of a perfect son. Purport. after the Pachetas had finished their penances, they were blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord blessed them by telling them that after finishing their family life, they would return home back to Godhead in due course of time. After finishing their family life, which lasted thousands of years according to the calculation of the demigods, the Prachetas decided to leave home, putting their wife in charge of a son named Daksha. This is the process of Vedic civilization. In the beginning of life, as a brahmachari, one has to undergo severe penances and austerities in order to be educated in spiritual values. The brahmachari or student is never allowed to mingle with women and learn from the beginning of life about sex enjoyment. The basic flaw in modern civilization is that boys and girls are given freedom during school and college to enjoy sex life. Most of the children are avana sankara, meaning born of undesirable fathers and mothers. Consequently, the whole world is in chaos. Actually, human civilization should be based on the Vedic principles. This means that in the beginning of life, boys and girls should undergo penances and austerities. When they are grown, they should get married, live for some time at home, and beget children. When the children are grown up, the man should leave home and search for Krishna consciousness. In this way, one can make one's life perfect by going home to the kingdom of God. Unless one practices penances and austerities in his student life, he cannot understand the existence of God. Without realizing Krishna, one cannot make his life perfect. The conclusion is that when the children are grown, the wife should be put in the children's charge. The husband may then leave home to develop Krishna consciousness. Everything depends on the development of mature knowledge. King Pratibharnichat, the father of the Prachetas, left home before the arrival of his sons, were engaged in austerity within the water. As soon as the time is ripe, or as soon as one has developed perfect Krishna consciousness, he should leave home, even though all his duties may not be fulfilled. Prachina Barhishat was waiting for the arrival of his sons, but following the instructions of Narada, as his intelligence was properly developed, he simply left instructions for his ministers to impart to his sons. Thus, without waiting for their arrival, he left home. Giving up a comfortable home life is absolutely necessary for human beings, and is advised by Prahlad Maharaj, Hidvatma Patam Griham Andakupam. To finish the materialistic way of life, one should leave his so-called comfortable home life, which is simply a means for killing the soul, Atma Patam. The home is considered to be a dark well covered by grass, and if one falls within this well, he simply dies without anyone's caring. One should therefore not be too much attached to family life, for it will spoil one's development in Krishna consciousness. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvi Shesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarane. Obviously, hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam runs contrary to modern philosophy, modern understanding of the purpose of life, what is happiness, how to achieve it. And unfortunately, we ourselves, we've also been trained up in the same way. It's not that we're reading the Bhagavatam after spending years in the Gurukul, going through austerities, bringing firewood to our guru, from the deep forest. No, we've been brought up in modern culture where sex life is glorified at every moment. People can't live without this type of sensual enjoyment. And indeed, all the advertisements everything we look around, the billboards, the magazines. We don't find magazines where we find the ladies dressed in bark and the men dressed in bark doing their penance. Matted hair for the ladies. They go to the beauty parlor to have their hair matted. We don't find anything like that. Just the opposite. The body is glorified as the deity, as the very basis of adoration and service. People are engaged 24 hours a day meditating how to serve our material bodies. Therefore, modern education is considered not to be education. Utkramantam sitim vapi vunjana vagunanvita vimudo nanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. That the foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of material nature. And therefore, those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. One may have a very prominent position at a university. One may have many academic degrees. But if one does not understand how the soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and how one is situated under the three modes of material nature in different types of bodies, then one is considered to be mudha, a fool. And even though other fools may get together and award degrees and give glorification, but such glorification awards will have no ultimate benefit. After leaving this body, we cannot take our titles with us. We take only our karma and our consciousness we've developed. Therefore, from the very beginning of life, one should be trained up about the values of life. Everyone who's come to the material world has come with a desire to enjoy the material energy. That desire has been with us since time immemorial. And it is so powerful that we see in the life of Daksha, that Daksha, after going through so many penances and austerities for many years, offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such nice prayers that Krishna personally came in his form of Vishnu, surrounded by all the demigods. He was so ecstatic seeing Lord Vishnu, he had to lie down on the ground from so much ecstasy. And Lord Vishnu came and said, "My dear Daksha, you've done so much penance. What do you want now?" And Daksha answered, "I want sex. I want a lot of sex," so much that he had 1,000 sons. So we can imagine so much ecstasy, so much penance, so much trouble, and simply the same thing. The birds, the bees, the cockroaches, the human beings, even the demigods, they don't have to go through so much trouble. It's already available. And not only that, we find in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that even the demigods, when they have their love affairs on the shore of the ocean of milk, surrounded by so much opulence, that afterwards it says that the demigoddesses, they become morose. Therefore, one has to seriously consider, on one side, sex life is so powerful that one may become attached to it even after experiencing the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. It doesn't go away so quickly. On the other side, it is not a very high standard of pleasure. Prahlad Maharaj said, "Yanmai tu nadi griha medi sukham hitu jam. Kanduyanena koryar eva dukha dukham. Tripyanti neha kripana bahu dukha bhaja. Kanduti vat manasi jam vishaheta dhira." So Prahlad Maharaj compares sex life to the rubbing of two hands together to relieve an itching sensation. It is actually pleasurable, No one could deny it. If one has an itching sensation, if you scratch it, it feels good. And as long as one keeps on scratching it, it feels good. But as soon as one stops scratching it, then it feels terrible. And if one keeps on scratching it, eventually there'll be blood. But it is a type of pleasure. But Prahlad Maharaj said, it is tuchava. It is insignificant. But how do we know it's insignificant? Unless we cultivate Krishna consciousness. Unless we actually become conscious of Krishna. And to become conscious of Krishna, in one sense, there's no end to it. It is not that in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani is thinking, so many, every day I see Krishna, and it's the same old Krishna. He has a flute and peacock feather. Maybe I should take a week off. I know this Krishna. I know his friends. I know all about Krishna. I need a break. No, it's every moment, it is just like the first time, and it's always more wonderful. So how can anything become ever more wonderful unless the person from which it's coming from is unlimited? That conceiving of something that's unlimited or someone who's unlimited in the material world is inconceivable, and therefore Krishna is achintya shakti. It is all inconceivable. That is called wonder. And without wonder, without wondering over Krishna and things in relation to Krishna, then there is no ecstasy. There is no Krishna consciousness. If it is, here's the same old deities, they're always smiling. Who knows what kind of prasadam they're eating, what's in the prasadam. They always seem happy, but it's the same. No, it has to be adbhuta. Wonder. One always has to be in the state of wonder or in reverence. And that's cultivated by following the process of awe and reverence. Sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means a process by which we simultaneously engage our senses in service to Krishna in a regulated fashion, hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and then becoming inspired to serve Krishna. And at the same time, there is the system of vana and ashram. How to regulate eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In modern society, eating is considered to be, at least in the Western world, the source of so much enjoyment. Everywhere you go, especially in America, there are so many restaurants serving anything you want and things that you may not want. But everywhere, America is a very unusual place in the world. For those who have not gone outside of America, it is not that the whole world is one big shopping center. There are actually places where it is not so convenient to buy things, and therefore, and believe it or not, in those places, people don't have money to spend on anything that comes to their mind at any time of the day. In any case, America is especially a land where eating, so much variety, they have magazines about eating. You can go on the internet and search for all the different restaurants. And how many stars they have, and what time they're open, and what they serve, whether they cook whether the lobster's alive or dead before they cook it. Everything is there. And sleeping, you can go to stores in America where they have blocks of mattresses. You can lie down the whole day trying out the mattresses. Maybe you can go to sleep on one or two, test it out. And sex life, anywhere, it's available anytime, any place, in any manner. And defending, as we've heard the other day, that there are so many video games. If you don't want to go and fight in a war, actually fight, then you can stay home and fight. If you, when you get tired of fighting with your husband or wife or children, just you fight on the video games. But it is a pleasure defending. But these things are not the goal of life, nor do they produce unlimited happiness. It is simply punak punas charvata charvananam. Whatever happiness we got from eating, sleeping, mating, defending yesterday, it's the same happiness we'll get today. And tomorrow, and in a million years from now. The history, they are so much concerned with history, but actually there is no history of the universe. It is only the same thing. Punak punas charvata charvananam. 5 billion years ago, people were eating, believe it or not. They were sleeping. They were mating. And they were defending. And they were writing history 5 billion years ago. How people are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They had television programs about it. And today, people are still eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And in 5 trillion years from now, if you're still here, you'll find out that people will still be eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And working hard to do it. So there is no past, present, and future in the material world. There is simply the same thing again and again and again, maybe decorated in a different way, maybe glorified in a different way, but it is the same thing. It is the same scratching the same itch to relieve it. Therefore, it is said, Nipari shat priyam prapya, no dvijat prapya cha priyam, stira buddhira samudo, brahmavid brahmani sitaha. That a person who doesn't rejoice when he attains something pleasant. Because if we rejoice when we attain something pleasant, we're also going to have to lament when we attain something unpleasant. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, as they say. And, naprarishat priyam prapya, no dvijat prapya cha priyam, stira buddhira. One who's dira, as Prahlad Maharaj said, if he can tolerate the itching sensation, there's going to be an itch, but we have to learn to tolerate, and that's the process of education, learning tolerance, based upon the fact that we're not the body and that we have a higher goal of life, that is, become conscious of Krishna. So we learn the process of tolerance, the itching sensations that come about, regulate the activities of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Then we become dhira. And manasijam vishaheta dhira. It is not that we're going to miss something. Because it is a, according to Prahlad Maharaj, it is manasijam vishaheta dhira. Manasijam means it is a mental idea that this is happiness. That this is true happiness. It's certainly relief from distress, and that in the material world is called happiness, but it is not the ultimate happiness. Therefore, household life means that one learns, if one follows household life very nicely, and has a very nice relationship based on Krishna consciousness with the husband and wife and the children, if everything is done according to the Vedic system, and one is happy in household life, then the result is, if they're actually practicing Krishna consciousness, the members of the family, on one side they have the happiness of Krishna consciousness, the other side they have the happiness of family life, and in comparison, the conclusion they reach is that the happiness of family life is tuchava, is insignificant compared to the happiness of Krishna consciousness. But if one doesn't nicely follow the process of nice Krishna conscious family life, as the Prachetas had, as Prahlad Maharaj had, as many of our acharyas were householders, then the result is one doesn't get Krishna consciousness and one doesn't get happiness in family life, and therefore one thinks, there's no problem with family life, I just got the wrong wife. Or there's no problem with family life. I just got the wrong husband, or the wrong children, or the wrong dog, or something. I just got to try again. Then I'll be happy. Once you learn how to be happy in family life by following the principles of devotional service. People think by economic development itself that one will become happy. But knowledge is necessary for happiness. As I mentioned many times, if we don't know what sense gratification is, we'll never get it. If we don't know that sense gratification means nice food, nutritious food, nicely cooked, prepared and served, grown properly, nice clean water, nice fresh air, nice relationships, peaceful life. If we don't know that that sense gratification, we'll never get it, and we'll simply hanker for it. People think they're eating, but as I mentioned before, they did an experiment to measure the nutritional value of shredded wheat or some other breakfast cereal like that. And they fed it to rats to see how they prosper eating it. But the rats didn't eat the shredded wheat. They ate the cardboard that it came in. So people, they think by advertisement or by some idea, manasi jam, that they're actually enjoying, but they don't know what enjoyment is. So we should learn how to live nicely in the material world, happily in the material world, what happiness is, what the standard is, and at the same time, by cultivating Krishna consciousness, by having a peaceful mind when we're executing sadhana bhakti, then the result will be that when we actually can concentrate our mind upon Krishna, we'll become ecstatic. We'll feel love. We'll feel pleasure. Our spiritual senses will awaken, will understand, will experience what happiness really is, and therefore we'll know that in comparison to that, everything is insignificant. And therefore, when the man takes sannyas, when the wife goes to live with the children, they're satisfied. They're happy that they've gotten the most valuable thing out of their household life. They've gotten the knowledge of how to become Krishna conscious. They've learned detachment from the material world. They've learned tolerance. And they've gotten factual experience of love for Krishna. So, if not, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay. Oh, there is a question. Okay.
There was a quote on the calendar upstairs, the Prabhupada meditation calendar. And Srila Prabhupada said that if the wife is very helpful in Krishna consciousness, the man does not have to take sannyas. Do you know anything more about that?
If the wife is very helpful, where does the quote come from? Who quoted that?
It's on the Prabhupada meditation calendar, and I didn't pay attention to where it was quoted from.
Well, I guess at least Vanaprastha. Even if one doesn't take sannyas. But at some time one has to renounce family life and dedicate oneself to Krishna consciousness. Not that the wife is very helpful for my Krishna consciousness. She makes wonderful prasadam and, you know, everything else is great and I feel very happy. No, one has to at least hitvatma pritpatam griham andakupam. Prabhupada wouldn't say something which was against Prahlad Maharaj. There's another thing that at the age of 50, one should take vanaprastha to go into the forest. So, for the Kshatriyas, for the Brahmins, they were supposed to take sannyas. Kshatriyas didn't take sannyas, but at least they took vanaprastha. Just like the Pandavas, they left their home and they went to the Himalayas. So they took at least vanaprastha. Not that Draupadi's a perfect, wasn't that Draupadi had some problem with her household life and therefore were renouncing her. No, she was a perfect example of someone who was very helpful to all the Pandavas in their household life, but still they left. At least, and then vanaprastha in this age means to go to a sacred place like Vrindavan. That's why Prabhupada had constructed the guest house in Vrindavan, so they can go there and hear and chant about Krishna together. But not to go there and start another family. And the wife, just like we have one of our householders at least, he travels with his wife and they both preach Krishna consciousness. So that's all right. It's also very nice. But that quote can be misused, obviously. That what about the other quote? You're supposed to give 50% of your income to the... They should put that right next to it also. Anything else? Yes. Well, we've started our student life. This is brahmacharya. We start generally with brahmacharya. All the devotees follow brahmacharya. And therefore, by that learning how to control sex life, how to follow the four regular principles, then when we practice Krishna consciousness, which especially in this age, the chanting by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we can chant in such a way as to remember the previous acharyas and to be hooked up in that mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, remember him and his associates, then it becomes very powerful, the chanting. And by that powerful chanting, we get direct association with Krishna, and whatever disqualifications we had from previous habits and activities, they gradually get washed away by the ecstasy of devotional consciousness. After all, it's not that we're practicing to become something new. We're practicing just to find out who we really are. We're already Krishna's servants. Whatever disqualifications are we have from previous births or even from this lifetime, it doesn't disqualify the soul. The soul is always fully qualified to become Krishna conscious because that's who we are. We're never going to become anything else other than who we are. Doesn't matter how good we are or how bad we are in the material world, we're always the same. But we should try to become good to find out who we are. Yes.
Maharaj, in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that this divine energy consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome, and actually uses the word duracha, which means insurmountable, practically impossible. But then he goes on to say that one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. So surrendering to Krishna means surrendering to his bona fide representative, in our case Srila Prabhupada, and that means chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles and trying to be fully engaged in devotional service to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So a lot of us are already doing that and have been doing it for a while. So is it possible that we're doing better than we think? No, is it possible that maybe we're expecting too much? Maybe, just this is the way it is. You just do like this. You don't experience maybe the great ecstasy. But that just by doing like what we're doing now, that's just that's realistically what we're going to, experience. And in due course of time, we're just going to finish this body and go back to Godhead, but maybe not having been jumping up and down in ecstasy during this lifetime?
Well, that's a long question. On one side, I guess we start with that story how one devotee was distributing at an airport, and there was one demon who'd always break up the sales. But he had a weight problem, so he went to the devotee and asked him for a cookbook. So the devotee sold him a cookbook, a vegetarian cookbook. So he became a vegetarian for a month, and his whole attitude changed. And then his wife, his associates, were getting worried that this, you know, he's becoming nice to people, and you know, this something wrong with him. So his wife forced him to eat some kind of, you know, meat, and he got violently sick that night. And the whole night he was vomiting, he was completely sick, and then he vowed to become a vegetarian for the rest of his life. So we think, well, you know, nothing much has happened. Well, go out to the material world, go to the bar and the discotheque for a while, and then you'll find out what it's, you know, where we've come to. So there's quite a difference between the lifestyle of a devotee and the person who's trying to chew his material body to get some pleasure out of it. On the other hand, devotional service generally is over many lifetimes, as Sri Rupa Goswami says. But we shouldn't expect that, you know, at the end of this, we can expect, but we shouldn't, it's not guaranteed that at the end of this life, that somehow or another, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to take us back to the spiritual world. He might, that's up to him. He hasn't told me what his plans are. But we should be patient. Devotional service begins with patience. So we're always anxious, where is it, Krishna? You know, I've done so much for you. And therefore, you know, where is the reciprocation? Where is the ecstasy? I deserve it. Don't you know who I am? I sleep at the wheel or something? Don't you appreciate, you know, great devotee services? What kind of God are you anyhow? So with that kind of attitude, it's going to take a long time. So patience is a very valuable asset to cultivate. At the other side, we have to learn what the process is, what we're actually trying to do. We're trying to become Krishna conscious, at least see through the eyes of Scripture. We can't remember Krishna by seeing his form. At least we should see, you know, Krishna through the eyes of his words, how he's working in the material world, what is reality according to Scripture. Then if we see like that, then gradually we'll act properly, and when we act properly, then gradually we'll come to the platform where we can become aware of Krishna and feel his presence and become ecstatic. So we should know where I'm at and where I'm supposed to go and do what's necessary to get there. But not that where I'm at is everything's all right because the prasadam's all right and everything seems to be going all right and my body's held up more or less, and at the end of life, Krishna more or less will take me back to Godhead. No, we should find out what the process. Just like it said here, Krishna gave the prachetas the blessings, they'll go back to Godhead. So they didn't sit at home and watch television waiting for the end of life because Krishna guaranteed that they're going back to Godhead. No, they did what was necessary to go back to Godhead. That was Krishna's blessings. He reminded them, now it's time to do what's necessary to go back to Godhead. So we're actually blessed by Krishna. He'll tell us what we're supposed to do so we actually make spiritual progress. We become ecstatic, so much ecstatic that at the end of this life when we're leaving our body, we don't even notice we're leaving our body. Then we're fully qualified to go back to Godhead. Yes?
You were speaking about leaving family later on in life and to go and advance in spiritual life. But I've seen in our society that we're not really equipped to deal with old age. And if someone leaves home in an advanced age, when they may be in an invalid condition, you know, their situation may be worse and they may not be able to think of Krishna in that kind of situation. I know a situation in another temple that I was in that this couple, older couple came and he went to the Brahmachari ashram and she went to the Brahmacharini ashram, and it was not nice. They weren't treated nicely. No one understands old age in our society, and we're really not equipped to deal with it. I know sannyasi godbrothers that live in hotels because there's no place for them to be. So how do we justify leaving home to go think of Krishna and be in a destitute situation?
How do we justify? Well, we have to make the, we have to use our intelligence. It's called, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. That there's bathwater, something's not right, so just throw out the baby. No, we have to think about how to make the arrangements so it does become right. But it's not that, as I said, that one is 90 years old and he decides to leave home. No, one should do that at the age of 50, when one's body, as Prahlad Maharaj said, when your body hasn't dwindled and is still strong, then use your energy in a way to actually focus your mind upon Krishna. That's the objective.
Old age, even if you leave at 50, when you're old, old age is still going to come.
Oh, don't worry about it. If one actually becomes Krishna conscious, then one will be able to tolerate any circumstance. It's not that I'm going to die in a hospital bed with all the tubes and I'll be very happy because I'm dying scientifically. If one is actually Krishna conscious, he'll be able to tolerate. Krishna will make the arrangements, and in any circumstance, he'll be able to tolerate his circumstance and think about Krishna. But if you don't make the arrangements to actually focus your mind upon Krishna, then no matter where you're going to leave your body, it's going to be very inconvenient. You're going to suffer a lot because you've never focused your mind upon Krishna. Therefore, you haven't done anything that's actually valuable in your life.
So where does one draw the line to taking the advantage of medical science to prolong their life, as we just saw an example of Jayapataka Maharaj, and just thinking of Krishna and leaving your body?
Well, if it's available, then you take advantage. Krishna made that arrangement. But then again, if Krishna doesn't make the arrangements, then we have to be prepared to think about Krishna in any circumstance. It's there, therefore we take advantage of it. Their airplanes are there, therefore we utilize them for preaching. But if there were no airplanes, it's not that, oh, there's no airplanes, I can't preach. Sorry. No, if it's there, we use it for Krishna's service. If not, we still, whatever we have, we try to utilize for Krishna's service.
So it seems to me that the situation is just as with in the material world, that those that have money and that can afford medical care and a situation can leave or, you know, get some attention, and those that don't are, they should just think of Krishna.
Oh, everyone should think about Krishna in any case. It doesn't really matter. If the king dies, it's not that he dies happily, and when the dog dies, he dies unhappily. No, whatever the circumstances are, our main business is to focus our mind and give our love to Krishna in any circumstance. And if we can do that, then we become qualified to go back to the spiritual world. Therefore, the kings, they used to leave home and go into the forest to leave their body. They didn't think, I'm a king, I'm going to make all kinds of nice arrangements. So when I leave my body, I'll have all the physicians surrounding me. No, they purposely left their opulent position, went into the forest, and focused their mind upon Krishna. So if someone doesn't do that, and they have the opulence to be certain, whatever, we shouldn't become envious of them. We should realize that this is not necessarily, it could be or it could not be so beneficial for them. It's not that I'm in a lesser position because I don't have all the opportunity to be surrounded by modern technology, and therefore I won't be able to think about Krishna so easily. No, I can think about Krishna perhaps even better if I don't have all the modern technology that's dulling my consciousness. In any case, we're all eternal. Our aim of life is to think about, to become Krishna conscious and serve Krishna to the best of our ability and have faith that Krishna will make the arrangement, so I'll be able to do that at least to the best of my ability. I think one more question. Okay.
Maharaj, I got the impression from watching Judah Karma's presentation and then talking to him a little later that there's a lot of young, intelligent people joining our movement in Russia and even more so in India. And we don't see that happening here in the United States. And I'm just wondering why. What are they doing right? What are we doing wrong?
Well, for one thing, in Russia, they're not so distracted by modern technology. Because if you go where we're actually very successful, you'll find it's very comparatively primitive conditions. You won't find malls, and except in Moscow and maybe St. Petersburg, you won't find cities with all kinds of stores and all kinds of advertisement. No, people are just struggling to get enough to eat, a place to sleep. And therefore, when the Hare Krishnas come by ecstatically chanting and dancing, people become attracted because they're not distracted. But here, you know, you can't even hear the kirtan, you know, the roar of the traffic and all the people blaring their, you know, with all their ears clogged up with iPods and whatever else it is, their mobile phones, and they can't even hear what you're saying because they're so distracted. But don't worry, Krishna will arrange it. He's very merciful.
What about India?
What's that?
What about India?
India has a culture since time immemorial, spiritual life. They're born into that culture. So probably could compare it to the Indians to someone who has a cold, compare it to the Western people outside of India who have terminal diseases. Easier to cure a cold. But although, I mean, there's 1 billion people in India, it's not that 1 billion people have taken to Krishna consciousness either. They're becoming more and more distracted as time comes on. And even in India, the allurements to become Krishna conscious are not always for the purest motives either. A lot of people join because it's a better economic opportunity to join the Hare Krishna movement. But on the other side, they're Punya Bhumi, they're pious land. Holy places, saints, and so many different advantages they have by taking birth in India. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.